4. HMS Rakurai 46, Gorath Bay, Kingdom of Dolar, and HMS Devastation 54, King's Harbor, Helen Island, Kingdom of Old Karas. The brisk afternoon wind had a wetted edge as it swept across the dark blue waters, ruffling the surface with 2-foot waves. Here and there a crest of white foam broke almost playfully, and the sharp-toothed breeze hummed in the rigging. Gorath Bay was a well-sheltered anchorage, and it was always ice-free year-round. But the present air temperature was barely above freezing, and it took very little wind to make a man shiver when it came slicing across the vast, treeless plain of the bay. The Dolaran seamen assembled on the deck of HMS Rakurai were certainly doing their share of shivering as they stood waiting for orders.
"Down top gallant masts!"
Captain Raisando's voice rang out from the converted merchantman's quarterdeck in the official preparatory order, and petty officers gave their working parties warning glances. Earl Thirsk had decided to grace Rakurai with his presence this afternoon, and it had been made thoroughly clear to everyone aboard that today would be a very bad day to be less than perfect.
"Topgallant yardmen in the tops!"
Feet thudded across the deck as the designated topmen flooded up the ratlines. They swept up them like monkey lizards, fountaining upward into the rigging. Yet the dulcet tones of petty officers gently encouraged them to be still speedier.
"Aloft, topgallant yardmen!"
The fresh command came almost before they'd finished collecting in the tops and sent them scurrying still higher, swarming up to the level of the topmast cap.
"Man topgallant and mast ropes!"
More seamen moved to their stations at deck level, manning the ropes run through leading blocks on deck, then through blocks hooked to one side of each topmast cap, and down through bronze sheaves set into the squared-off heels of the topgallant masts. Each mast rope then ran up its mast once more, to the other side of the topmast cap and a securing eye-bolt. The result was a line rigged through the topgallant mast heel designed to support the mast's weight as it slid down from above and controlled by the deck party assigned to each mast. Other hands eased the topmast stays and shrouds, loosening them slightly, and the next command rang out.
"Haul taut!"
Tension came on the mast ropes, and the officer in charge of each mast examined his own responsibility critically, then raised his hand to signal readiness.
"Sway and unfid!"
Seamen threw still more weight onto the mast ropes, and high above the deck, each topmast rose slightly as the rope rove through its heel, lifted it from below. Its heel rose just far enough through the square hole, just barely large enough to allow the heel to move in it, in the topmast trestle trees for a waiting hand to extract the fid, the tapered hardwood pin, which normally passed through the heel and rested on the trestle trees to support the topgallant's weight and lock it in place.
"Lower away together!"
The topgallant masts slid smoothly, gracefully down in almost perfect unison, as the men on the mast ropes obeyed the command. Breaching lines and heel ropes both guided and restrained the masts, although the anchorage was sheltered enough, even with the brisk breeze, that there was no real danger of the yard going astray. The purpose of the exercise wasn't to bring the masts clear down on deck and stow them, and their downward progress ended when their heels came to a point just above the hounds on their respective lower masts. At the same time the spars came down, the top men tended to the topgallant rigging. They eased the stays and backstays carefully as the masts descended, then secured them on the topmast caps. If the topgallants had been going to remain struck for any period of time, a capstan bar would have been pushed through the secured stays and lashed into place to help keep things under control. No one bothered with that particular refinement this afternoon, however. There wasn't much point, since all hands knew they were to enjoy the pleasure of completing the evolution at least 3 more times before the day was over.
"Lay down from aloft!"
The order brought the topman back down, even as a heavy lashing was passed through the fid hole and secured around the topmast to hold it in place. The ship looked truncated with her topgallant masts and topmasts doubled that way, but the topgallant was securely stowed in a manner which reduced the height of her rigging by almost a third. The result was to reduce wind resistance aloft and to reduce her rigging's center of gravity, which might well prove the margin between survival and destruction in the teeth of a winter storm. The last line was passed, the last lashing secured, and all hands watched tensely as the captain and the admiral surveyed their handiwork. It was a moment of intense stillness, a sort of hushed watchfulness, burnished by the sounds of wind and wave, the whistles of wyverns and the cries of gulls. Then Earl Thirsk looked at Rysando and nodded gravely. No one was foolish enough to cheer at the evidence of the admiral's satisfaction. Even the pressed men of the ship's company had been aboard long enough to learn better than that. But there were broad grins here and there, born of combined relief. None of them had wanted to consider how the captain would react if they'd embarrassed him in front of the admiral, and pride, the knowledge that they'd done well. Completing an evolution like this in harbor was child's play compared to accomplishing it at sea, in the dark, in a pitching, rolling vessel. Most of them knew that. Some, the relatively small number of seasoned seamen scattered amongst them, from intensely unpleasant personal experience. But they also knew it was something they were going to have to do eventually. None of them were any more enamored of the notion of sweating for the sake of sweating than the next man, but the majority of them preferred to master the necessary skills here rather than trying to pick them up at the last minute in the face of a potentially life-or-death emergency at sea.